Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And his goldfish and his crayon.
Can't forget about that. All right, welcome back. Midday show. Well, yesterday was a little bit of Elmo's World.
We bought the flame, Elmo.
Citizens Bank Park. Well, hold on. So new information comes to opinions. And originally, we were going to throw the question out of if Elmo saved the Philly season, right? Because Elmo was at Citizens Bank Park yesterday, hanging out in the booth with T-Mac and all that.
Yeah.
So it was more of an innocent, like, hey, Elmo was with the Phillies yesterday. Is he trying to help get the team back on track? And then we remembered, and this is he was on point today, that Hugh said, hey, wasn't he with the Mets at some point? And then we did some digging, and it does seem like Elmo has identified as a Mets fan. He's a Mets fan.
He's a little red fraud.
Okay, so
who invited him?
Whose idea was this?
Furry red fraud.
People on the internet flamed him. Like, I got some friends on there. Shout out to Tish. She just said flat out, you know, gave Omar the middle. I mean, wasn't it Elmo? The middle finger.
Omar? You get to Omar.
Omar. Yeah.
Omar. No, Omar's world.
My cousin's name is Omar, and he's here. But yeah, Omar gave Elmo the middle finger.
Does he love his goldfish and crayons?
No, I don't know about that.
After all these years, we figured out full name, Omar Elmo.
Omar Elmo. Omar Aloysius. Elmo.
So wait, what is Elmo? Is Elmo?
I think Elmo's a Mets fan.
Then why was he here yesterday?
I mean, he was selling. What was he hawking?
He is a he's a fraud, looking to make a buck.
What was Elmo hawking?
He's a grifter.
What was Elmo hawking? He was hawking some. Elmo, we about to give Elmo this heat.
You know what? Nobody's above reproach around here. Nobody.
Elmo, we about to give Elmo this smoke. Just let
come with Elmo, too.
I'm with it.
Embiid, Maury, Elmo.
If Elmo will get this smoke, I'm
do
with
it. Do we blame the Phillies for bringing him in? Or has he gone turncoat on the Mets? I mean, is he our guy now? Has Elmo turned his back on the Mets?
I don't want him.
Okay, we don't accept him.
We're Philly, man.
Kick Elmo out of the building. Get out.
Wish I could say what I wanted to say, but I know I'm getting in trouble.
I was already giving Elmo the side eye for being up there in general yesterday. I'm like, I don't know what his place is here.
What type of time
and
you
then
are,
I remembered
Elmo?
That he was a Mets fan. I don't want him anywhere near my baseball team.
Yeah, I have.
He could be a sleeper agent, you know?
You can't trust Elmo. Absolutely not. All right, so Philly season is not saved by Elmo. We've agreed on this?
Well, it was clearly saved by Donnie Baseball.
Well, so, I mean, obviously.
Very clearly. Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly they are pushing back to 500. I mean, they just, and then they lost the two in a row, right? But then they bounced back and they won two in a row. We'll see tonight an off night for the Phils before they start up in Boston tomorrow. I think we're facing Ranger Suarez on Thursday, which should be interesting.
Ranger, yeah.
And then in Pittsburgh.
Might try to get some weekend. Back.
What are they, 9 of their last 11 or 12?
9 of 12, right? Okay. They lost once in Miami with Mattingly and then end of the. You know, the two games back-to-back, was it Thursday, Friday they lost?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the three losses under Mattingly.
Just want to point out, I said all it takes is one 10-game win streak or a variation. I believe 9 of 12 is a variation.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is. I mean, it's close enough, yeah, right?
We've climbed back.
I do, you know what, and I know it's arbitrary because what's the difference of one... I need to see them at 500, though. Like, back to even.
Oh, big time. I totally
different.
Agree.
Like, yeah. They're close now. I mean, 19 and 22, considering at 9 and 19 where they were, is a big jump.
I know.
But I keep trying to look at the schedule and figure out when I think it's going to happen. So, even if they went 4 out of 6 on this road trip, that still wouldn't do it, right? They still would be one under. So, it's still, they got work to do here. They're going to need another four or five game winning streak, or they're going to need to have a good run here over the next 2 weeks. But it's coming. I mean, they have played good baseball, and if Bryce keeps hitting like this, and Marsh keeps hitting like this, and Schwarber keeps hitting home runs like this, they'll get there.
It did strike me, because I'm like, man, like they've been winning a lot lately, and I looked at the record, I'm like, they are still well below 500. That's how badly they started the season off. Not only did they have a 10-game losing streak, but they went into that 10-game losing streak, what, a game or two below 500?
Yes.
So, like, man...
Well, the other thing is, it also struck me, and look, there's multiple routes to the playoffs. They don't need to win the division, and I think when you go 9-19, winning the division becomes hard to imagine. It strikes me how the Braves keep winning. Like, the Phillies have played really well for 2 weeks, and they're still 9 games back. Weren't they 10.5 when they fired Topper?
Yeah.
I think they've only made up a game and a half on the Braves.
Yeah. That sounds about right. And I think, is Acuña still hurt? Acuña still a little
Acuña
banged up?
Is on the injury list, yeah.
So, it's pretty impressive that they're still doing what they're doing.
Well, they're getting a crazy season out of Matt Olson. Matt Olson is in the MVP mix. And as good as we were talking about Schwarber and Harper being,
yeah.
Olson's numbers are just off the charts. So, yeah, the Braves are going to be tough to catch, but the Phillies have got themselves back on track. Elmo aside, because this whole Elmo thing doesn't feel right to me. Let's go to K-Cool, who's up on WIP. What's up, K-Cool?
My guys, Joe, you, Kyle.
What's up, man?
K-Cool, what's up, buddy?
Before I go to my sorry Sixers, let me just... The Phillies, man, is like... I mean, I don't want to recklessly speculate, but I'm just wondering, like, how they just all of a sudden just start playing baseball all of a sudden soon as Rob Thompson got fired? Like, I don't understand, because even Don Mattingly, he didn't do... Like, he didn't change, you know, have too many major changes. It's like, I don't know, man. It might be an inside job, man. And Kyle Schwarber probably wasn't in on that meeting.
Well, Hugh was speculating on this a couple weeks ago. Recklessly. It is wild. It is wild.
And he wanted to trade Bryce Harper to the Yankees.
Instead of Fire Topper.
I did.
Yeah, we didn't forget that. You think we have.
I know you ain't going to let me forget it. I ain't
fine. Okay. Guy's on fire right now.
Hearts on fire. Yeah, he is on fire. Yes.
Okay, cool. What do you think of the Sixers?
Yo, hey, Joe. Like, I tuned into the game after a while. You know, obviously, I turned it off. It was done. But the whole time I was thinking, I said, please, Embiid, please do not go to this podium and downplay what just happened. And the first thing he does, what he does, Joe.
It was a great season for me. Yeah.
Go and say something about being a family man and all this mumbo jumbo that don't even matter right now. Whether you got a dollar or $1 billion in your account, it's somebody in your family who loves you. Like, come on, the show must go on. Like, why are we talking about your family when we just got humiliated, like flat out beat? Like, it's ridiculous, man. Like, I'm tired of this. We in 2026. We've been dealing with this since 2017. The same song. When we gonna get tired of this record playing?
Well, I am already tired of it, K-Cool. I know you are too, and I think for the most part, people are. Now, sometimes people defend them or not, but I think people are tired of it the way it is. K-Cool, it's a good phone call. Go ahead, you.
It's the presentation.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate that I think that for all the goodwill that Joel Embiid tends to build up in moments like that, he tends to lose that because of the way he says certain things. And people hear, like, we hear it a certain way. Because I feel like a lot of times, a lot of fans want to believe in Joel Embiid and they want to back him. And, you know, you have moments like when, you know, he's talking to the fans and they feel like he's one of us. But then you have that disconnect moment you say things like that. When that has, we know you have, you look like you have a wonderful family. Pretty sure you have a wonderful wife and all this other stuff. But that's not germane to the moment that we're in. And that's the problem.
He might be. I was thinking about this. Is Joel Embiid the worst at these post playoff loss press conferences of anyone we've had here?
Remember,
he's thrown his teammates under the bus. Now, yesterday he didn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday he was actually complimentary of his teammates, specifically the future of VJ Edgecombe. But yesterday he took a new tact. No big deal. Yesterday was, no, I'm good. Like, well, this is a good season for me, and I have a happy family, and I have a kid, I'm cool.
Well, I feel. I'm not holding that against him, Joe, because of this. And I got to thinking about this while we were sitting there talking about it. Joel Embiid, he was self-taught to play basketball, right? And I would feel like a lot of the, how should I say this? The trials and tribulations that most have to get to that point, he probably hasn't, it's probably not the same for him.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So when you're asking him to reflect in that moment, this is not an excuse. This is honestly, me sitting here trying to figure out what makes him tick. And I think in that moment when he was reflecting, that's what was most important to him. You know what I mean? It's not so much like, and we hear it as fans because it's not like Kobe would say to somebody else that we feel like it doesn't mean as much to Joel, right? I think it does. I just think in those moments, what he's feeling is not married to what actually happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's thinking about reflecting on the season he had and, you know, how lucky he is to have a family that he has and stuff like that instead of being in that now moment.
It's just tone deaf, kind of
I mean, I was trying to say it in a nice way, but to your point, that's exactly what it is.
It reminds me of like when we're all complaining about Tobias Harris, and he was like, "Well, it's very fascinating how much money he makes."
It's not the same.
I don't care.
It's not tone deaf. It's just that.
Well, what you said is very tone deaf.
No, it's not.
It is.
But who is? Is he talking? Is he talking to himself or is he talking to the fans?
I think he's protecting himself because he knows what the fans are going to say. And he's saying, well, you know, I know people are going to do this, but I'm happy to have my family and da 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 da. Because he probably is already being somewhat defensive about what the outcome is going to be.
I know. I guess my issue is there's a pattern of
it's always a little bit of a pattern.
It's Ben's fault. It's Tobias's fault. It's James's fault. Well, actually, it's
Instead
no one's
of
fault.
Instead of just sitting there saying, hey, man, this is not the outcome that we wanted. I wish I could have been healthier. That's the truth. I mean, you can't help. He's been snake-bitten as far as the health is concerned. And I will say this. It feels like from the reports that we've gotten that part of it, the reason why you keep getting injured is you're not really rehabbing.
Yeah.
The best way that you possibly can.
You know what I think yesterday should have been? He should have apologized to this.
Yeah, there's just no need for any of that.
Now I don't. He doesn't have to apologize for his performance because I think he tried to play as hard as he could. He's just not as good as he used to be. I'm not saying he should say, I'm sorry for not playing well enough. As the leader of the team, the most expensive player, the guy that told everyone a week ago, don't sell your tickets.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, on behalf of the Sixers, I'm sorry for what we did tonight. That you guys deserved more. Like, we got our asses kicked at home on Mother's Day. Like, we joke about this, but there are like thousands of people yesterday who didn't go spend time with their mom or left their mother to go to that game. Like,
wasted our time.
Wasted everybody's time.
He should apologize to Hugh for getting him roped into the mess with Tiki.
Yes.
No, he don't need to apologize for that because I get that.
He should apologize.
Well, you defended him and then he kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all
he made
we,
you step in.
Listen,
it.
Listen. We all feel it, but we still he's still our he's still one of us. So I don't feel bad about it.
No, well, you shouldn't. I'm saying he should apologize for.
Well, yeah, for making me defend him.
So I'm sorry to the organization. I'm sorry to the fans. I'm sorry to Hugh Douglas.
He made me eat a big old stinky turd. No, it's cool.
But you got the belt out of it. So.
Yeah, I got the
belt.
You
did. Yep.
But I mean, you know, I'm probably getting laughed at up there in New York, but it's cool.
Oh, they're probably laughing.
I don't go back to New York.
They're laughing at all.
They're laughing at all.
Yeah, I mean,
we got chill.
Yeah, we got the big piece of chicken. Y'all got it.
I mean, what are we going to do today? Let's talk, besides talk to Rodney here. What's up, Rodney?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Rodney, what are you thinking?
Man, I'm so upset with the Sixers. I mean, I can't take it anymore. I'm through. I'm done. I'll see him next year, though.
Oh, it's one of those where you're done today, but you'll be back.
Screw you. See you tomorrow.
I mean, I like the honesty, though.
At least he's being honest with himself. Yeah. I mean, that's all you can ask.
I hate this team until they play next season.
Yeah, I mean, look, same.
Yeah, you know? Isn't that what we always do?
Look, the Joel did. I mean, we went off on, well, everybody went off on Jaylen Brown for the comments that he made. And what were they saying? Oh, he should have waited a few days. Well, should have went on vacation first. You know, this, that, and the other before speaking with him. Joel should have went on vacation. He should have declined the interview. He's like, look, this is a bad game, and I just don't want to talk about it right now. We really have to talk about it later. Because they just caught him at a very – he was in a reflective moment where he was reflecting on getting over his – his main goal was to be able to get his knees right to be able to play.
Yep, you're right.
And he accomplished that. So that's what he did, and he accomplished that, and he felt as though that was his success. But it wasn't a success as a team. And that's the only thing that he did not take into account. So if he can take that into account, you know, we're stuck with Joel the way it is with his contract and everything else. So, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Hey, Hugh. Listen, you have me laughing every single week, man, about holding the line, man, that AJ's coming back.
Laughing at Hugh, right?
Hey, Hugh, I be thinking of, you remember Good Times, right?
Yes.
And remember there was an episode where JJ and all his boys bought a car And they used to come in talking about united we stand, divided we fall. We tighter than Payhoo's three sizes small. That's what I be thinking of when every time she talking about hold the line, bro.
Hold the line all you want.
I'm with you. I'm going to hold the line with you.
Oh, come on.
Rodney, no!
It's looking bad.
Rodney, I love you, buddy, but please, you got to drop the line.
It's looking bad for us.
Yeah, you guys
are. Here we are.
Big, big trouble. All right.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's check out what you people are up to today.
In a parade of fools? I thought he was thinking of a new nickname for the show.
Oh, that would work.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, look, us, the callers.
We could come up with so many fools.
We could. I mean, the Midday Show is proud. It is a huge parade of fools, yeah, starting with
day.
Us.
Yeah, every day.
That's it.
Every day.
Hey, guys, thoughts on Game 5 tomorrow?
Which one?
Take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
Tough, man.
What are we doing tonight?
Is that the first time both teams got swept in the same
weekend?
Building, same weekend?
Same building, certainly.
I would have to think it's the first. Because I can't remember the Sixers. Well, how rare is it for the Sixers or Flyers to get swept, let alone
same
weekend?
Well, also, how many times have they been in the playoffs at the same time to even have that possible?
I know. That might be a first.
Well, I would also guess if it's happened, it's never happened in the second round. Right? To get to the second round, then get swept.
Same day. Or same weekend.
Yeah, that feels pretty historic.
Man.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
history.
Who's playing tonight? What are we doing?
It is. Tonight's a quiet night.
Quiet night. Maybe we need it.
I need
we
one.
We need a reset.
We
need a reset.
Need one,
we'll regroup.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You got plans?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. We'll piss everyone off tomorrow.
Don't worry about that. Don't you worry.
You guys don't have the balls to call out Tyrese Maxey.
For what? Calling him out for what? What are we calling him out for?
He didn't play well enough.
Yeah,
he didn't play. I mean,
I do think we mentioned that pretty early on, too.
More than one time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The only person on the Sixers who shouldn't get it is probably VJ.
Yes.
That's it.
George fell off, which we're not surprised about, but it was unfortunate.
I would trade Gilio for George Costanza.
Is he a talk show host? I mean, he's funny.
He's an architect.
No, I wouldn't.
Bart Vandalay
is an importer-exporter.
Yes, he is.
That'd be unacceptable.
Very impressive by Kyle to end up wrong about every Sixers take this postseason. I was, man. I might have hit an 0-for-6.
Yeah, but you were said that season was over when we were talking about the playoffs in February. You said it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ultimately.
And then I jumped on board. Well, no. And then I laughed at everyone and called them dopes when we were going up against the Celtics.
I mean, name probably is Jermaine for this show, though. We do that quite a bit.
The lesson is your first instinct on these teams is usually right.
Yep.
Right?
And
if you don't think it's worth it and they're not good enough, they're probably not.
I mean, it's
not.
Called fandom.
And that's exactly right.
It's fandom.
Yeah, we all
Sixers
do it.
Are very good at making me look like a fool.
Yeah.
All of us. Tale as old as time. So now you're going to run Michkov out of town. Should have never let WIP on the bandwagon.
To be fair, you didn't bring it up. That was a caller.
Well, and if any of us here are doing it, it's you. So
that's
I mean,
exactly why am I right. You're famously anti-Russian hockey players.
Is that right? How many Russian hockey players do I know? Matter of fact, how many Russians do I know?
Actually, I think this should be the off-season angle of the show. Hugh runs Michkov out of town.
I don't know any Russians with the
Hugh's anti-Russian.
All of the hockey people that are mad at Hugh for jumping on the bandwagon come at his neck, and you got rid of Michkov.
By the way, I stuck my flag early in Michkov over Tocchet.
You did.
I did.
You did.
So I just want to make that very clear.
You think that's going to be a common one, or will you be on the minority of it?
Oh, I think I will be in. I think I'll be in the majority.
Okay, because Tocchet's
so Tocchet doesn't like Russians.
Well, we don't know that to be a fact. We don't know that to say it out loud
that's
as a fact
speculation.
On the air.
Okay, that was recklessly speculating.
Felt a
very
little
reckless.
Bit strong and probably over the line.
All right, so making up excuses for Joel Embiid. Are you going to tell us to squint real hard again over there, Daryl Douglas?
How am I making up excuses? My job, I'm sitting here.
I love Daryl Douglas.
To be totally honest, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, why would he say that in this moment, knowing how much of a tug of war like most Sixers fans were having this weekend. Like, why would you say that? And so then I started to try to figure out what was in his head.
The difference between us is you try to figure out the why, and I just say bleep just you for saying that.
Yes, basically.
Daryl has some serious bangers, man. The squint real hard. Yes. The Buddy Hield puts the fear of God in people.
We sold high
on Jared McCain.
Yeah, he really. Like,
I'm not mad at anybody for being mad.
The greatest of Daryl Morey is.
This is the week to be mad. If you're going to be mad, this is
the
week
fear
to be
of
mad.
God with Buddy Hield is one of the most ridiculous ones of all time.
So yeah, good.
I remember that.
Buddy Hield,
so good. Build around Vijay and Maxi. Ship out Playoff P and Captain Cancun.
Captain Cancun is perfect after yesterday.
That is a tough but very good nickname, Captain Cancun.
Captain Cancun.
All right, bet I can trigger Joe with just this one sentence. Jay in West Philly was cooking.
No, you're not going to trigger me now at 152. No. I'm good. I'm happy now. I'm good. We solved a lot of problems.
We had a moment. This is the last one. There was a moment early in the show. Hugh was visibly shook by this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you could tell, was getting pretty testy early on, but this was the start of it.
And guess what? Joel Embiid won't win a damn thing. A damn thing. You go ahead, defend him.
I'm not.
Go ahead, defend him.
Defend him. That's not what I'm doing. But what I need you to try to understand is
that was threatening. Defend him.
He was like, go right ahead.
Yeah, see what
defend
happens.
That BS. I'm like, no, wait a minute.
Be my guest.
Yeah, go ahead and try.
No,
try
but
it,
you know,
punk.
But I will say this. That set the tenor for the show because after that it was like, whoa.
It did. I think Hugh knew to tread lightly,
right
then and there.
Yeah.
Do not defend Embiid around Joe today.
I'm not defending him, but I'm trying to get in his head and figure out why you feel.
Come to think of it, Jay in West Philly ran into a buzzsaw.
He was it really was Hugh's fault that we got there.
Wait a minute, that wasn't my fault. No, I'm just trying to sit there and trying to figure out how does that correlate with what just happened.
No, you were just doing your job. This was just me being annoyed. All right, that's enough for us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Afternoon show is next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.